Gandhi's 1930 Salt March is one of the famous episodes in Indian history. Let's look at it for a bit from an economic point of view. The Salt March was a protest march against the British monopoly on salt and also the British taxation of salt. It lasted for 23 days, which of course is a long time to march, and it ran for 390 kilometers, again a long way, running at the end along the western coast of India, somewhat like around here. Or to see that in the red, imagine it running something like this. Gandhi was the leader of the march. He applied his principles of nonviolent resistance, and he ended up being thrown in jail. Nehru was also involved in the protest, and he too ended up being thrown in jail. Salt, of course, is a very important commodity, essential for human life. Salt had been taxed in India for a long time, but under the Mughal Empire, salt taxes were relatively low. Taxes became much higher when the British East India Company had a role in India, and the British salt tax really gets going in 1765, when Robert Clive, also known as Clive of India, instituted a system of salt monopolies and salt taxation. At first, this tax was at 35%, and then it went up to 50%. It's not surprising to suppose that the cheapest way of getting salt in India was to have the salt produced in India itself, but British policy was not steered toward that end. There was, in fact, a place in England where salt was produced. There was a salt lobby from near and around Cheshire, England, and over time, the salt producers from Cheshire, England, acquired a very strong market foothold in India, supported by these monopoly privileges and by these taxes. Of course, this was a very bad deal for Indians who had to buy salt. Indians broke these laws to some extent, but overall, salt production moved away from India and toward England. The English salt producers were earning monopoly profits. This really was a classic case of special interest groups strangling one sector of an economy with monopoly and taxes. The British kept on trying to keep control, so they built an entire salt line, which ran across much of India, and on that salt line they employed nearly 12,000 men to try to stop Indian salt from sneaking through. As you would expect with this monopoly and high tax, there was a lot of smuggling and also a lot of salt adulteration. There was a new salt tax passed in 1882. The purpose there was to try to restrict the distribution and handling of salt to government depots, but of course that was not in every way effective. A lot of the very poor didn't pay the salt tax at all. What they would do instead is burn vegetable ashes, and there would be impure or bitter salt substitutes which they would extract from those ashes. That wasn't really good for them, and it also tasted bad. The salt issue really was a major practical and moral grievance for decades. It's no surprise that Gandhi chose it as the subject of protest. Intuitively, Gandhi had a very good sense of the economics. He was living in a situation where the price was quite high and the quantity and quality of salt were fairly low. He wanted to move to a situation where the price would be much lower and the quantity and quality would be much higher. And thus we have Gandhi's 1930 Dandi March. At the end of the march, when they all arrived at the sea, what they did is boiled the seawater and took out the salt. They produced salt very cheaply and basically announced that a new era of salt production and distribution had arrived. Think of this as an economist's kind of perfect competition. The final result was they were arrested. The actual tax on salt wasn't repealed until 1946, but still this event was important for a number of reasons. It meant new popularity for Gandhi. It demonstrated the widespread nature of resistance to British rule. Also, the issue was so obvious, the salt taxation and monopoly seemed so unjust, that British rule itself appeared unjustified. There was face-to-face negotiation between Gandhi and the British, which was important symbolically. And also, at the end of the Salt March, although Gandhi and also Nehru were arrested, the British actually did make some concessions. For further reading about Gandhi and the Salt March itself, just Google some of the key terms in this video. For background on the earlier history of salt monopoly and salt taxation, I recommend these two articles, each available online.